SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Pro Football Full Circle, hour number two. Mike Carver joins Scott Wetzel and Joe Lisi right here on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM channel 159. Good afternoon, boys. Good to be with you. I know you've been diving into the games. We'll dive in a little further. Sean Payton, of course, out. I just got finished watching Joe Shane, who's going to be the new general manager of the Giants. I just watched a bunch of his press conferences.
How did he look?
You know what? You know what he is, Scott? He's like your typical one of these like new young wonder kids that we talk about all the time that takes over the job. He basically says, that's a good question to every single question that gets asked of him. That's a good question. And he starts getting into it. And he seems like it. And listen, he was the assistant general manager in Buffalo. I know I saw him, you know, in a bunch of the stuff that they do. You don't know the guy from a hole in a wall. I mean, Brandon Bean was the GM. You have no idea if the guy's going to be good or not. But he says all the right things, that's for sure. Seems like he likes Daniel Jones. I thought Mara was the interesting part afterwards. Mara comes right out. We're not trading for Deshaun Watson. Absolutely not. Good job, John.
Well,
John gets right in there.
Yeah, it's definitely not giant material, Deshaun Watson, whether he's guilty or not. The Giants would never take on a situation in regards to that, right? But I will say this about Sean. I read a report that, and I love this, that he did call his father up. His father, I believe, is a 65-year-old truck driver, and they broke down together. You got to love that. I mean, obviously, you know, he's a blue-collar type of guy, and I like that.
I knew you were going to say that.
I like that.
This is New York, New Jersey. You're going to start crying because you got a job, for goodness sakes? Didn't you apply for the job? Is it unexpected? Did you win a lotto ticket? Man up, man. You can't. New York City, you're crying already? Listen, winners cry after losses. Losers cry after wins. So, to me, he's already got one strike against him. And if he likes Daniel Jones as a Giant fan, then he's got like five strikes against him.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Scott, he had Jones sitting right in front of him during he was sitting there.
What a better way to embrace yourself to the New York community and New Jersey community by saying, this guy over here, he sucks. You know it. I know it.
I would love that.
I said he was good during the job interview, but we all know he stinks. So, hey, thanks, Dan. Appreciate you coming by. You're going to be the backup now.
He did the whole.
That would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be great?
He goes, well, when we get the coaching staff in here, we're going to build a program around Daniel, and we're going to make sure that he has all the tools to be a winning player in this league, and he's going on and on and on. You're right, Scott. Oh, the better way would have been to say, this guy sucks. Get me somebody else. Right. Let's go.
We're the Russell Wilson. We're the Seattle GM.
Right. I guess right Carver. Carver, yeah. I guess Galladay, Kadarius Toney, Saquon Barkley, you know, Shepard, Evan Ingram, Stonehands, they don't matter, right? I guess that's not weapons.
Man, what a waste of money Galladay was this year, huh? Jeez. Pay him a lot of money?
This is what Joe and I talked about, Mike, the other day about the Dolphins situation, where they're going to bring in a head coach who's going to tell the world that, you know, Tua is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you could win with this guy and this, that. And, you know, they're not going to hire the guy who says, no, Tua isn't any good. Sorry, fellas, we need to go draft another quarterback or get another quarterback. So it sounds like the same thing here with the Giants. You know, I mean, would they have hired a GM that came in, you know, a candidate anyway, that says, you know what, Daniel Jones just isn't any good. He was on the bottom of my draft board. And I'm sorry, guys. You know what? He stinks. You know, it sounds like they hired someone who told them what the Giants wanted to hear, much like the Dolphins will probably do with their head coaching job. So that doesn't give me that much confidence in this guy. Unless, like you said, he said what that just to get the job, and he'll spend a year in purgatory with Daniel Jones and then have to move on. Because they do have to make a decision with him after year about the fifth year of his contract, which is a lot of money.
It's like you say with the Dolphins. I mean, that's why Flores is gone, right? Because he told them, this guy sucks. I mean, this guy sucks. We're not winning with this guy. And so basically they showed him the door. Man, it's tough to find a quarterback, that's for sure. What a tough year for the Giants. The year they have two picks in the top 10, there's no quarterbacks worth taking in the top 10. There's nobody worth taking. Oh, what a shame.
Malik Willis.
Come on, Joe.
No,
Joe, stop, Joe. Joe, there's nobody.
Kidding.
Now, look, somebody's going to go in the top 10. But nobody's worth taking in the top 10.
No,
now, you know, after
right.
they do these, the Senior Bowl and the Combine, all the draft Knicks are going to shoot one guy up to the top of the board,
yeah.
whether it's Sam Howell or Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis. They're going to say, this guy's so great, and he's going to end up going in the top 5, 6, or 7, and he's going to be an absolute – he's going to stink. That's what's going to happen. That's
yeah.
how it's
going to go. We know.
There's no guy – like, we knew Herbert was talked about as the top 5, top 10 guy. We obviously, Trevor Lawrence was top 10 and Field. You know, there's no guy like that, you know, that we watched this season and said, okay, that's going to be a top 5 pick. I think Pickett will be probably the one that they anoint and you know, shoot him up.
Right.
Like I've seen already in some drafts. But, you know, I've taken out mock drafts from, you know, 3, 4 weeks ago. And he wasn't even basically on the radar. You know, people talk about how he was going to be a second or third round pick. And now all of a sudden, since he's, you know, maybe the best left, you know, he'll be a top 10. You're right, Mike, just because people have
they
to
want
make,
him.
Reaches.
They want him in Pittsburgh. They want him in Pittsburgh already. Keep him in town, wherever the Steelers are. I guess they're in the late teens, I guess, 18, 19, 20. Maybe they'll get their wish and they'll be able to get the Big Ben replacement in hometown,
yeah.
Kenny Pickett from the Pitt Panthers. All right, so we got a lot to do today. You guys got going on some props. They've got individual for both of these games now. We'll start to break that down. I saw actually a pretty zany thing for the Super Bowl MVP. Maybe we can get into too. Pro Football Full Circle, Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, and Scott Wetzel here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Good to have you with us. Okay, so we have, I know yesterday and in the first hour you guys did a lot of the weekly specials and things like that. They do have props now, a lot of props actually. They got like the full slate out here for both passing, rushing, and receiving. Even got the defensive ones, which sometimes can get a little zany, which I like sometimes. Chris Jones to get a sack, minus 134. Coming up this week. But they have some of these other ones in the till now. We'll start with the Bengals and the Chiefs. Mahomes at 289.5. Burrow at 287.5. Passing touchdowns, Mahomes over 2.5 at plus 116. Like that. Burrow over 1.5, minus 205. So, Joe, out of the gate here, two very high numbers, almost near 300 for Mahomes and Burrow.
Yeah, and I'm taking Burrow at 287.5. The one thing I know about Joe Burrow, in big games he plays his best. This is the biggest game of his short NFL career. No doubt that Broadway Joe steps up in a big way. I'm going to be honest, 287.5 over. And do like him to chuck a couple of touchdowns in this ball game. And I will be. He only had 5 rushing yards. I believe this is the game he does surpass his rushing total as well, Carver.
Wow, he thinks he gets past his rushing total, too. We will take a look at that in a moment. Scott, two very high numbers. When they're this high, I almost like doing the all totals, which they have,
right.
too. You know, like, it's close enough to 300. Mahomes 300-plus is plus 118. Burrow 300, same thing, plus 118. I'd almost rather do that, since they're offering it to you, than the 289 at minus a buck 14.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds of him coming in between that, right? If you can get some odds in your favor, why not? And you know, listen, it's hard not to like it. I mean, I can't imagine someone saying, boy, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game and these guys aren't going to throw the football, which is a scary thing because everyone's going to be on the overs on these things. So how about longest pass completion? Mahomes, 37.5 yards. Burrow, oddly enough, 39.5. I guess they're giving Chase a little more respect than the yard Tyreek Hill. But, you know, could there be 40-yard passes from both these guys? Boy, the way, you know, the Buffalo was throwing the football all over Kansas City, I can't help but think Burrow's going to get his. And you would think Mahomes would get his too, right? So I kind of like some of those longest pass yards plays.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs usually get a couple of big ones. Obviously, the Mahomes is juiced a little higher, minus 122. to the 37.5. They're both probably good for an over, you would think. Yeah. Mahomes plus money to throw an interception. I know he doesn't throw many. He did throw a couple in the game against Cincinnati the last time. Plus 106.
You know, you get 10 Mahomes. To 1, you know, Mike and Joe, 10 to 1 for Mahomes to throw for 400 yards. You know, that's Burrow threw good. For 400 last time. Burrow, what is Burrow here? Burrow for 400 is plus 880 still. Almost 9 to 1. If we're going to get the shootout. You know?
How about we get him? Now, obviously, we're getting real nuts here. How about we take them both at 400 in an SGP at plus 79.89, 10 bucks with you, 800. How about that?
I'll do that.
Come on, Joe. What do you think? Both of them to throw that. For 400. $10 bet gets you 800 bucks.
It's possible. I still am going to listen. I think the under does come in, but I think it's going to be right there. I think we're looking at a 31-27 type.
Wait a second. You think the under's coming in? Did I hear you right? Did you say the under's coming in?
Hang on.
Did you say that?
If I had to play the under, the total, the fact that it went from 50. Well, we were talking about the break. I'm not saying I'm going to. But in terms of the pick, 53.5, the line movement automatically up to 54.5. Now it's under that key number of 54. I think it's going to be right there. I think it's going to be like, I could see it right on like, you know, 54, 55 points. I don't know if it blows it through the water. But that being said, I still think both quarterbacks are going to be able to move the football through the air. And Cincinnati, to me, has no shot to win this ball game unless Burrow gets close to 300. They need to keep the pressure on Kansas City. I think they could stress them. We saw that recipe in terms of when you want to run. Look at Pittsburgh. They wanted to shorten the game, short throws. They got absolutely abused. Now, they didn't have a quarterback that could throw past 10 yards. But I don't think Mixon is going to look to get 100 yards in this ballgame. That's the recipe for Cincinnati to win, maybe in the second half if they have a lead. But it's got to be Burrow through the air first.
I don't disagree with you, Joe. But I think that the wonder kid, as Scott likes to say, the Zach Taylor, who I know that's for John McVay, but I want to throw that
Boy
on Zach
Wonder
Taylor.
Junior.
Boy yeah, Wonder Jr., Zach Taylor. Yeah. I think he's going to try to go gun for gun with these guys. I think he's going to try to sling it. Look at me. Look at my offense. I can throw the ball, too. I beat you last time doing this. So, Joe, if 400 at both of them is too much for you, how about both of them at 300 at plus 316?
That I like.
That's nice. 3-1
that's,
bet.
That's doable. Now, here's the thing, too. Do we really believe it's going to be a carbon copy of Buffalo KC? I'm not so sure about that. I don't think so.
Well, they played already, and it was. You know, their regular season game, and it was. You know, and you look at things, you know, would I change things? If I'm Kansas City, would I change my philosophy? No, I'm Kansas City. I got the two best weapons in Kelce and the Hill, and it's Mahomes, and I'm not backing down anybody. I'm not running the football. If you're Cincinnati, would you go into this game saying, all right, you know what, we screwed up first time around. We got to change things a little bit? No, we won the game, you know, and Mike said it, you know, we got my guy, Burrow, you know, we're playing with house money. You got a young whippersnapper head coach who's not smart enough to realize he should be running the football with Mixon. So, I you know, if it doesn't get to the 54 and these guys don't get to their numbers, it's not because they didn't try, and I can live with a bet like that. You know, the bet that, you know what, I just screwed up in my thinking, that stinks, but they tried. They threw the football. You know, each one's got to throw the ball 40, 45 times, and it just didn't happen for whatever reason. You know, you're not going to win every bet. I can live with that versus, you know, them maybe running the ball. I don't think the team will.
Yeah, I'm with you, kind of. I think that these teams are going to try to air it out. Now, I do just want to check quickly. What do we got for weather?
Weather?
On Sunday, because as we know, gusty winds, 20 to 30 miles an hour, occasionally could gust over 40. You know, that's – if there's one thing, snow and rain don't bother throughout the passing game, but wind certainly does. But these – we're still too far out. These guys can't figure anything out more than 24 hours in advance. So I'm not too concerned on Wednesday that right now they've got 29 degrees and 20 to 30 mile-an-hour winds. That's going to be a cold day in Kansas City on Wednesday, that's for sure. These receiving yards, the targets, I still think every week they have Hill and Kelce too low. I know it's two of them, and you think it's either one or the other. Both got over 100 last week, 76.5 for Hill, 72.5 for Kelce. You know, it's just man, they seem low to me. These guys, especially Kelce, he's more consistent week in, week out, getting the yardage than Hill. I know Hill's more on the big plays that he gets his, but Kelce's very consistent. Chase is higher than both of them at 85.5. I think Chase is too high.
No.
He's the one I can see maybe not getting the numbers. But they're going to get the ball to Tyreek Hill, right? Although he only had 6 receptions for 40 yards. 6 is not too bad, but only for 40 yards their first game. And then Kelce only had 5 for 25.
Wow. Yeah, but did he?
He had that injury, though. That was that. That was the second-half adjustments that Cincinnati made. They made huge second-half adjustments from a defensive perspective. Listen, at the end of the day, I know this is being overlooked, but the red zone defense of Cincinnati needs to be addressed. It's back-to-back weeks that they held opposing offenses to field goals and not touchdowns. And say what you will, maybe Buffalo couldn't do it. I think Cincinnati can.
Chase, by the way, in that game, 11 receptions for 266 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That ain't happening again. Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing Spagnuolo and Reed are going to sit around this week on, we can't let this guy destroy us again. We just can't. Pro Football Full Circle, Carver, Wetzel, Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, and Scott Wetzel here with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Good to have you aboard today as we're looking through some of the individual props for the first game on Sunday, Bengals and Chiefs, in what could be a windy Arrowhead on Sunday. That is, of course, 3 o'clock Eastern kick between the two. We went through some of the receivers. I gave you the big guys. Let's get the secondary guys now. T. Higgins, 70.5. That's been going up, up, up every week as Higgins has been getting more and more involved. I mean, 3 or 4 weeks ago, you were catching Higgins sometimes in the 40s and 50s. Getting him up to 70.5 now. Tyler Boyd, 37.5. Byron Pringle, 37.5. Joe Mixon, 27.5. C.J. Uzomah, the tight end, 36.5. Joe, and the secondary guys, who are you looking at?
I'm going to go with Boyd, and I've been on his number in back-to-back weeks. He didn't live up to expectations last week, but now in the 30s, I think it's very doable. His number last week was 46.5, so you're getting basically 9 yards of discount. And I believe he finished with like 17. Burrow looks for him in critical junctures, but the yardage just hasn't been there. Now, to your point about Higgins, he blew out in terms of a performance last week with 90-plus. I think this is the week that Boyd does get involved in terms of the Cincinnati side. On the KC side, Pringle's been stepping up. You know, back-to-back games against Pittsburgh and last week against Buffalo, he scored a touchdown. But the guy that they don't have listed that I always say in a big spot, he did it on the ground. I wouldn't buy into Pringle just yet. DeMarcus Robinson would be a guy if he's available. But Mecole Hardman, I don't think he's utilized on the ground, meaning in terms of the reverse game. I think he gets involved in terms of the passing game this weekend. So whatever his total is for KC, I like Mecole Hardman as a secondary receiver for Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, they don't have Hardman up yet. Sometimes they hold some guys off until the day of the game, or late Saturday, early Sunday, before they put some of these other
options
in.
Robinson's not up there either, Carver.
They don't have Robinson. They don't have, obviously, the Kansas City back, the other backs for Kansas City, which would be either McKinnon or Edwards-Helaire and things like that. Scott, who do you like here in the secondary guys? I think Pringle might be a little low at 37.5, honestly, too.
Yeah, he's pretty low. I'm looking at Tyler Boyd. I'm looking at some of these Cincinnati guys because, we said it. The first game, 266 yards, right? I mean, Andy Reid's a pretty good head coach, whether you like him or not, and the staff over there is pretty good. They have to look at that game and say, all right, guys, we got torched by this guy. 11 receptions. So they're going to do everything in their power. So I think the Cincinnati secondary guys this week are strong plays, no matter who it may be, whether it's Azuma or Tyler Boyd. And you look at Boyd's numbers. Now, they have not gone to him that much in the postseason. Two receptions last week, four against the Raiders the week before. But to close out the regular season, 85, 55, 96, 85, and 36 yards. And as a 49er thrown in there as well. So he hit that number. I'll tell you, 1, 2, 2 and 1, 3 and 1, 3 and 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 and 3 the last 10 games. And one of the misses was by a yard and a half. So that 37 and a half seems awfully low. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, and also they've got for the longest reception, you know, like for Boyd, 17 and a half. Some of these long receptions, if it's a game like this where you think there's going to be a lot of passing, and we're talking about betting these guys over 300 yards, you know, half joking around, betting them over 400 yards, provided that the wind doesn't go anywhere. I mean, Tyreek Hill, 24 and a half. Kelsey, I don't really like Kelsey for the long one sometimes, but he's 23 and a half. Pringle, 17 and a half. Low, Boyd, 17 and a half. Higgins, 24 and a half. Jamar Chase, 26 and a half. It's always the Tyreek Hill one that sticks out to me. I mean, 24 and a half for his longest reception.
That's low, right?
Yeah. Like what? Like seriously, he it seems like he busts a big one at least once a game. I almost want to blind bet them all over.
I know. You know. Even Boyd at 17 and a half, he hit that four of his last five games in the regular season. And the one game he did it, it was 17 yards. Yeah. I tell you, you know, Tyreek Hill, not that they need any advice from me, but I'll give it anyway. That guy is so much faster than everybody else. That long touchdown run. I would do that. I would pretend it's college. That's how colleges do it. You know, they stick a guy out in a flat, and they say, here, run 5 yards and cut across the middle, and we're going to throw you the football, and it's you against the defensive backs, and the great wide receivers in college are so much faster. That's kind of how he is in the NFL. I mean, I would do that every play. 5 yards, cut to the middle of the field, we're going to throw you the ball on the fly, and go ahead and do your thing. This guy, he would be an automatic touchdown. I mean, he is fast.
I agree. I think it's I would give him the ball as much as possible. Tyreek Hill alt over 100 yards plus 220. Mm. 100 plus yards for Tyreek Hill. I like that, Joe.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. I mean, if you're looking Kansas City, they're going to get him the football. You're right, especially if it's a shootout early in this ball game. You know, if the wind isn't a factor, and even to Scott's point, they could utilize him in terms of bubble screens, you know, hitches. There's a number of different ways to get the football to Tyreek Hill. Same thing with Chase. I mean, when you talk about Chase's production against Kansas City in the home win, 34-31. He took basically a slant, and that touchdown that he scored on them was basically all Jamar Chase, you know, dodging defenders for basically 60 yards in the open field. So you could say you could take an alt on Chase. The alt on Boyd, 60-plus, plus 280? Come on, bro. That's way too much. Plus 280?
That's too high? That's
no,
too high.
No, that's great.
Low?
That's great. Come on, man.
All right, then I'll throw you this one, Joe. Since I always love giving you dopey same-game parlays that we put together. How about Tyreek over 100, Travis Kelce over 100, Jamar Chase over 100, and Tyler Boyd with the 60 that you just mentioned. Ooh. Cool $10 bet to win you $1,000.
That's not bad.
Ooh.
That's not bad at all.
Plus $99.89. So $10 wins you $998.99.
That's not
bad. I like
bad.
Any Those bet that gives me $1,000 for 10.
Yeah. And let's be honest, Scott, not things that are completely out of this world. I mean, Hill and Kelce, they just did it last Sunday, both having 100 yards. Jamar Chase, he had, what'd you say, 200-plus against the Chiefs the last time he played him? I think Tyler, and honestly, out of the four of them, I think Tyler Boyd's the toughest one to crack at 60.
Yeah.
That's the toughest one.
Yeah. That could be.
I like that. Where do you see that one?
I put it together. So if you go on to where all the alt receiving yards are, Right. And you click the four of them, FanDuel makes the SGP in the on the side there for the box for you. So,
so you can even use the alternatives for parlays. Nice.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Which is very, very spicy. And it's something that I've been doing the last couple weeks. So I think actually, now that I'm staring at this, I almost have to play it. Because if I don't now and this hits on Sunday, I'm going to be upset with myself. that we talked about this and I didn't actually put it in. 100, 100, 160. Hill, Kelsey, Chase, Boyd. Let's go, baby.
There you go.
Get in there, Joe. You're going to put it in, too. I know you are. I know you're going to put it in.
Definitely putting in Boyd with the alts. I will do that.
Joe's putting an alternate score 10-7 Cincinnati.
Yes, Joe's looking for a low-scoring game. The rushing is a little tougher because they don't have any of the Kansas City rushing up yet. I guess because of Williams and Edwards-Helaire. And you don't know who start. You know, McKinnon's obviously going to play. He's not hurt. But they only have Mixon up there. 57.5 for Mixon. Rushing and receiving for Mixon, 88.5. They have a lot of alt numbers for Mixon. The plus money starts at 60 yards plus. They do have an alt for Patrick Mahomes. Very weird. So they don't have a Mahomes rushing number. But they have a Patrick Mahomes alt yards. 25 plus, 40 plus, 50 plus, 60 plus. Very strange, Joe. You usually don't see that.
Well, he's been blowing through his rushing total, right? And on the
one
flip
game.
Side, Burrow. Well, two games. Didn't he go over against Pittsburgh, too?
He might have.
I think his total was like 20.
But why wouldn't they have a regular number? If they got an alternate number, why wouldn't they have a regular number?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, this is what the books do to make you think. They, you know, they're not going to give you money.
I think it might just be baked in because they. It is weird that they put the alt up there and not the regular. Right. I know. Does it matter? Does his rushing number matter depending upon which running backs play and don't play? I would guess so.
You think?
I wouldn't think so. You know, if they're giving you the alternate number of 25 yards minus 168, and then they're making it 40 yards plus 188. So, you know, simple arithmetic, it's going to be smack in the middle. So it should be right around 30 to 35 yards, probably like 32,
right.
33 yards.
But no matter who plays in that game for Kansas City, it's not like they call designed runs for Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
right.
Any yards that he gets are always off of broken plays and scrambles. So I don't see why it wouldn't be that, you know, to have a regular number up there for him. But they're kind of doing it, like you said, it'll be fall right in the middle between 30 and 35. Is where they'll set that Patrick Mahomes number at. So, Joe, considering that you like the Bengals and you think it's going to be blue-collar football, I guess you like a Mixon over this week?
Again, with the blue-collar football, I think the Bengals can hold the Chiefs to field goals and not touchdowns. I'm not saying this is going to be a 13-10 game, but I think it'll trend to the under in terms of that, yes. So
under,
so
what about under for Mixon?
No, I think Mixon's, to me, not going to be a big play in the offense on the ground. It's in the receiving game.
Okay. We'll talk about it more when we come back. Pro Football Full Circle, Carver, Wetzel, Lisi with you, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We keep rolling after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Scott Wetzel. And the man with many apps on his phone, Joe Lisi, loves the apps on the phone, baby. All
love
sorts.
Those videos. Love those
all
videos.
Sorts. Social keep media apps.
Yeah.
Everything he's got. Joe Lisi, man of many talents.
Give
so
it to
Joe.
Tom Brady. Give it to Tom Brady, I understand, too.
All right, Joe. We got cut off before. I get Scott. So just say that again. So you like Mixon to go over this total, or you think he's going to be more involved in the receiving game? Say that again.
No,
Joe.
Yeah, I think it's the receiving game. Yeah, and now what do you have? 58 against Tennessee. Again, Kansas City is not going to allow Cincinnati to run on them. They're going to take away the running game of Joe Mixon. Put it this way: if Mixon does have success on the ground, that could even obviously play into the under as well, but they're going to take away the run, force the game on Burrow, just the way they did in the first matchup, And I think that Mixon could be utilized in the screen game or the one-on-one matchups against linebackers and nickelbacks. This is it, Carver, right? Super Bowl on the line. You got to go all out. If you're holding something in the tank, if you're Zach Taylor, you got to utilize all your weapons. And Mixon is a huge part of that offense, especially in the receiving game.
He certainly is. And they haven't put up the number of catches yet. For these guys, a number of reception prop, but I hit Mixon last week at 3.5. In game, I hit it again at 5.5, because he was catching the football. He was a big part of, and that was also because Burrow was running for his life, sacked 9 times. All he could do was dump it off to Mixon a bunch. So it could be something that's in play again. Are you looking at Mixon on Sunday, Scotty? What about you?
Yeah, you know, he was on my fantasy team, and he put up great numbers, but it's not, you know, it was almost like he's like Derrick Henry. You know, you give him the ball 15 times, and he runs for 25 yards, and then he'd, like, break one. And then all of a sudden, he'd have, like, 85 yards. Like, oh, okay, pretty good day. You know, that's kind of how he was and is. So I don't think so. You know, on paper, he could, but I don't think Boy Wonder Jr. there is smart enough to realize they really should be running the ball. I think he's just going to go, all right, what the fudge? We beat him last time 34-31 by throwing the ball. I mean, there's something to be said about that. You know, you're playing with house money, but, you know, I think the wise way really would be to go in there and try and pound the rock. You got a couple of decent running backs and P. Ryan as well and Mixon, but I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll throw and throw some more. So
I'm with you. I think the smart thing would be to maybe try to play keep away a little bit, yeah. Especially with Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline. But I could see it already. This guy, and I bet you, here's another thing he's going to do this week. He's going to make some crazy fourth down call.
Because he
got away with it the first game. He got away with the crazy fourth down call. So he's going to think, I could do this again. I'm coming after him. He's going to try that again. And you do need that stuff to beat the Chiefs. I was screamed and yelled about McDermott last year in the AFC title game where he had basically no stones whatsoever and didn't go for anything. And he changed it somewhat last week in that game when he went for it on fourth down, the first drive of the game twice. But you do need to have some aggressiveness when you play against the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, can I talk you into any defensive props for this game? I know you how much you like sacking the quarterback.
I do.
We have plus money for a few guys. Sam Hubbard, plus 126. B.J. Hill, plus 240. Melvin Ingram. You know, how about Melvin Ingram, plus 250 for a sack?
That's not bad. I mean, one of the best additions for that defense this year. Under the radar, right?
He's been all over the place.
What do you mean?
He's been everywhere. He's been making a lot of plays. Burrow just got sacked 9 times last week. Tennessee defensive line, I think, better than the Kansas City one, but still. Scotty, you ever dabble in these defensive plays? You like any of these defensive?
No, I normally don't, but that's the big concern with Cincinnati, right? I mean, If Tennessee was able to sack your quarterback 9 times, and you know, a couple of those may have been on Burrow, but really not. I didn't really think that many, to tell you the truth. It's not like he was scrambling around and just decided to fall to the ground. I mean, they were after him, really. You know, what is Kansas City going to be able to do? Not that they're really that much better, but, you know, I'd probably put them on par. So, that would be the only thing that would say this might not be the high-scoring game that we're anticipating is because Burrow just doesn't have time to throw the football, and they got to start thinking and dunking the ball down the field, and that takes up time, you know. And then if one or two of those drives ends up in field goals, not touchdowns, then you're really, you know, behind the eight ball. And then, you know, Joe and I were talking about this, and it might have been on this portion of the show yesterday. You know, if not for a bunch of long, crazy plays and, you know, the craziness of the last 2 minutes, the Buffalo-Kansas City game would have gone under. You know, that was on pace for an under game, believe it or not. Except for the 75-yard bomb and then, you know, the craziness in the last 2 minutes.
So. 25 points in the, 25 points in the last 2 minutes. It was going under.
Right.
The game was going under.
Can you imagine the guy sitting on the under ticket at that particular time, by the way?
Yeah, that's not
fun. A bad beat, right?
That's why you need under. 25 points in the last 2 minutes of the game. That's as bad as it gets, probably. After the first Allen score, off the top of my head? What was it when he scored with a minute 50 left? What was the score? Was it still under at a minute 50?
It was. Yeah. Because
checking
when he
real
scored.
Fast right now.
with Kansas a minute 50 City, left, it was it, it wasn't it was 29-26.
Kansas City needed to score for it to go over.
Yeah, no, okay. It was 29-26 got you the over when they hit the 2-point conversion to Diggs.
Yeah, he's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
29-26 put the game over. The Gabriel Davis with a minute 54 left, so the 2-point conversion put the game over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, there was 25 points in the last 2 minutes, but only 8 of them really put the game over. So it was
getting. Well, you had the long touchdown pass, you know,
yes.
The 75-yard bomb. You had the yes. little, you know, one. So there were a couple of, you know, there were a couple yeah. of times where Buffalo and Kansas City punted right around midfield with like 4th and 3s and 4th and 4s. I thought were both kind of strange.
Yeah, yeah. There's one that McDermott, I thought he should have went for. And I know the one you're talking about with Reed as well. I thought for sure yeah. he was going to go for it. And that was when they were up 9, I believe, when that one happened. So is what it is. Instead of diving into all the Ram 49er ones, I guess we'll save those for tomorrow. I saw this. I was looking at this last night, and I got caught in a rabbit hole. They have up there, you could bet the Super Bowl MVP now. With 4 teams left. So obviously these odds are going to, once you get the 2 teams that are in it, it's going to settle and go to more what it normally is. So Patrick Mahomes is plus 170. What's he going to be when they win on Sunday? Minus 200? Minus 150? What's Mahomes going to be, Scott? Like normally, what's the main quarterback and the favorite for the Super Bowl? What do they normally have him at to win the MVP the week of the game or 2 weeks before the game?
You know, probably even money at best. At best. If they're the right. favorites, yeah, probably less than that. I will tell you this, you know, because Dane and I brought this up on In-Game Live last night. I looked it up. Out of 55 Super Bowls, it's a little surprising, I got to tell you. Out of 55 Super Bowls, 24 have been non-quarterback MVPs.
Yep.
3 of the last 8, which isn't a lot, but you can't say, well, that was way back when they're running the ball. No, even, you know, it's 5-3 the last 8. They've kind of jumped on this wide receiver, you know, Julian Edelman thing where they just, you know, they latch on to the wide receiver versus the quarterback.
So you've had,
not an automatic that a quarterback will win in the Super Bowl.
You've had Edelman, you've had Von Miller, you've had, you know, a couple of guys, which is why there's some deep shots here that are very viable. I mean, if Kansas City's in that game, and as much as everybody loves Mahomes, all it takes is, you know, a game like Hill had on Sunday, 20-1 for Tyreek Hill. Now, I'm sure the last thing they want to do is have him up there on the podium with Goodell at the Super Bowl, giving him the MVP. I'm sure that's the last thing that they want to do. But they have Kelce at 20-1, you know, and I love this one because I usually take a defensive player just for the hell of it. Last year it was Devin White, and I actually thought he got screwed out of the MVP in that Tampa game.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald, 30-1.
Yep. Yeah.
That's not bad. That's
30-1 for
Aaron
Donald.
You got to get him there, but.
Yes. Yes.
It'd be nice if these were no bet if your team doesn't win, but that's part of the.
Yes.
I guess that's part of the gamble.
Can I say this?
Guess, Joe.
You know, if they get there, he's going to do his damnedest to take the trophy, right? OBJ at 60-1?
No.
Maybe you wouldn't give it to him. See, it's immediate.
They wouldn't give it to him.
You
have to earn it. But that would be a game where OBJ has the dynamic catch, a 183 and 3 touchdowns, and Kupp has like a 114 with like a touchdown, and they're forced to give it to OBJ if they get
there. I think they would give it to Stafford before they ever gave it to OBJ. See, it's got to be a media thing. It's got to really think of the 3 guys that are doing the broadcast, and that's who's going to win. You know, which guy are they going to play up? Are they going to be talking about Aaron Donald, how he's putting pressure on Burrow or Mahomes all the time? You know, probably. Are they going to be playing up Odell Beckham to the sympathetic cause? I don't think so.
Von Miller?
I think they would just give it to Stafford if they were going to do that.
75-1?
He already won it one time in a Super Bowl.
It's not, and it's not awful. But here's the thing with Von. I don't think, you know, he got to Brady once last week. I don't think he's been as impactful. If there's going to be a defensive player on the Rams, it's 2 guys. It's Donald if you get a whole bunch of sacks and the defensive line destroys him, or it's Jalen Ramsey if he has a couple of picks or something. He's 150-1.
What's Cooper Kupp's? I could see Kupp being it.
Plus 950.
They love him.
He's the fourth choice right now. Yeah. He's ahead of Burrow. Yeah.
10-1.
Burrow 10-1.
Well, because Burrow's got to win.
He's got to win, Joe. Well,
he's got. Well, listen, Joe knows what he's
Joe's stamping
do.
It. Joe, boom. He's got
to
win.
Joe knows what he has
boom.
To do. Joe's a winner. Okay.
Joe knows.
I'll tell you what. Let me ask you this: if we're talking, and this show is next Monday, and Cincinnati's in the Super Bowl, then it's going to be. Oh, I knew Burrow could do it. Scotty, you've been on Burrow all
now.
I know. I've been on Burrow the whole time. I know. I have. You know, I had them week number three when they were 33-1 to win the division. So. I know I shouldn't be jumping. I jumped off last week, though, so now I feel weird jumping back on again. But I tell you, if you like Cincinnati, Burrow at 10-1 is not.
He won't
bad.
Be 10-1 next week if they win. That's for sure.
Right, exactly.
He definitely will not be. These guys, the winners of these games, will move up big time. But those were just a couple of the guys that I saw. That Donald one really sticks out to me, man. I might want
you know
to
know who the other one is
Sunday.
Too.
Who's that,
if
Joe?
If they get there, the media loves him. Debo, 16.
Yeah, that's true,
I mean,
they love Debo.
And just hand them the trophy if San Francisco gets there and wins.
You're not wrong, Joe.
You know who they also like? And I think he's overrated, but they also love Nick Bosa. 75-1.
Yeah,
you know, he'd be the alternative to, you know, if you're going to do Aaron Donald, then you might as well put a couple shekels on Bosa, figuring you're going to have one dog in a fight.
You're right. He is so overrated.
Isn't he, though? Oh, I'm glad you said that. He's just, oh, God.
Carver with the he's so overrated. I love
he's
it.
He's so overrated. He is. He's not as good as his brother, I think. I think Joey's better. That's just me personally. Chase, 50-1. Akers, 50-1. Yeah, I mean, there's some. If you're willing to, like you say, if you're willing to gamble that you've got a good feeling that your team's going to get there to next week, you can get ahead on some of these prices. They're going to be a lot different when we look at them on Monday. All right, Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We wrap it up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Scott Wetzel, and Joe Lisi. Here with you on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. I was just telling them during the break, I mean, they got a guy on NBC News in New York. You know, there could be anywhere from 2 to 20 inches of snow on Saturday.
Wow.
I wish we could give a gap that wide of what we thought, you know, a final score of a game or a prop was going to be. You know, yeah, I think it's going to be between 2 and 20. You know, that's pretty good. That's a nice wide gap they left, Scott, as they're going to dump all this snow on us on Long Island on Saturday. Real nice.
Yeah, so do we go out? Do we get the shovels out? Do we get the snow plows? Do we get the extra gasoline for the for the generators, or don't we? You know, unbelievable, 2 to 20. Yeah, nice try. It's amazing,
Joe,
how these guys can screw up.
Joe, tomorrow we will get more into the other game, which I know you're also very interested in. You like the dog in the other game as well. The 49ers and the Rams. I did see that go to 3.5 now.
No, I like the favorite in that game.
Oh, you like the Rams in that game. My apologies.
Yep.
My apologies,
okay.
Joe. I thought that you were going a dog day Sunday on this week. Thought you were going dog both ways.
I'll give you one last one on the Bungles one if you want one.
Yes.
You have to. Everybody just has to go. I know people don't generally play this, but under Evan McPherson, kicking point, 6.5.
Ooh.
This guy's 15 minutes of fame. Listen, I never had anything against him, but just shut up already. Please, don't tell me you were telling everybody you were kicking his 50-yard field goal. He's talking like he just went sweat for 60 minutes. I mean, come on. Please. You know this guy's going to shank like a 30-yarder this week. Absolutely. So
I wouldn't mind if he did. You're right. Let's take him down a couple pegs. All right. The great Evan McPherson from Florida. He make a lot of big kicks with the Gators, Joe? Evan McPherson?
He made big kicks. Yeah, except the one in the bayou when Kyle Trask.
Oh, there you go. I knew you were gonna dig one of them up, Joe. He'll miss a big one this week. I like that from Scotty. There you go. All right, Pro Football Full Circle. We'll see you tomorrow. Great job by Andrew Torres, Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. See you tomorrow.